Welcome to the official podcast for Triumvir Clio's School of Classical Civilization. I'm Beth, aka Triumvir Clio.
Hello again. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. I'm phlegmy today, so hopefully I'll make it through this episode without losing my voice. We'll see how it goes. Today we have Book 13, Chapter 14 of the Bibliotheca, and I've definitely pulled up the right chapter this time, so I am only going to make this episode once, unlike last month when I made the episode twice because I initially did the wrong chapter. Anyway, so here we go with the James George Frazer translation of Pseudo-Apollodorus's Bibliotheca, Book 3, Chapter 14, with probably a few edits by yours truly. Cecrops, a son of the soil, with a body compounded of a man and a serpent, was the first king of Attica, and the country which was formerly called Acte, he named Cecropia after himself. In his time, they say, the gods resolved to take possession of cities in which each of them should receive his own peculiar worship. So Poseidon was the first that came to Attica, and with a blow of his trident in the middle of the Acropolis, he produced a sea which they now call Erechtheus. After him came Athena, and having called on Cecrops to witness her act of taking possession, she planted an olive tree, which is still shown in the Pandrosium. But when the two strove for possession of the country, Zeus parted them and appointed arbiters. I love Zeus sending them to their corners. Now, these arbiters are not, as some have affirmed, Cecrops and Cranius, nor even yet Erisichthon, but the 12 gods. Which ones? Doesn't say. And in accordance with their verdict, the country was adjudged to Athena because Cecrops bore witness that she had been the first to plant the olive. Athena, therefore, called the city Athens after herself, like you do. And Poseidon, in hot anger, flooded the Thracian plain and laid Attica under the sea, like you do. Cecrops married Agraulus, daughter of Acteus, and had a son, Erisichthon, who departed this life childless, alas. And Cecrops also had daughters, Agraulus, Herse, and Pandrosus. Agraulus had a daughter, Alcippe, by Ares. In attempting to violate Alcippe, Halorothus, son of Poseidon and an nymph Eurydice, was detected and killed by Ares. So good on you, Ares, in this case. Impeached by Poseidon, Ares was tried in the Areopagus before the 12 gods and was acquitted, which again, sounds good to me. Herse had by Hermes a son, Cephalus, whom Dawn loved and carried off, and consorting with him in Syria, bore a son, Tithonus, who had a son, Phaethon, who had a son, Astynous, who had a son, Zandacus, who passed from Syria to Cilicia and founded a city, Calendarus, and having married Pharnaki, daughter of Megaseres, king of Hyria, begat Cinyras. Did you follow that? This Cinyras in Cyprus, whither he had come with some people, founded Paphos, and having there married Metharme, daughter of Pygmalion, king of Cyprus, he begat Oxyporus and Adonis, and beside them daughters Orsidike, Laugore, and Brisea. These, by reason of the wrath of Aphrodite, cohabited with foreigners, oh my goodness, and ended their life in Egypt. I'm not sure, well, you know, Greek xenophobia, you gotta love it. Anyway, and Adonis, while he was still a boy, was wounded and killed in hunting by a boar through the anger of Artemis. Hesiod, however, affirms that he was a son of Phoenix and Alphesiboia, and Panaeus says that he was a son of Theus, king of Assyria, who had a daughter, Smyrna. So it all depends on who you ask. Anyway, in consequence of the wrath of Aphrodite, for she did not honor the goddess, this Smyrna conceived a passion for her father, and with the complicity of her nurse, she shared her father's bed without his knowledge for 12 nights. Ew. But when he was aware of it, he drew his sword and pursued her, and being overtaken, she prayed to the gods that she might be invisible. So the gods, in compassion, turned her into a tree, which they call Smyrna, and you probably know better as myrrh. 10 months afterwards, the tree burst, and Adonis, as he is called, was born, whom for the sake of his beauty, while he was still an infant, Aphrodite hid him in a chest unknown to the gods, and in trusted that chest to Persephone. Persephone opened the box. But when Persephone beheld him, she would not give him back. This case being tried before Zeus, the year was divided into three parts, and the god ordained that Adonis should stay by himself for one part of the year, with Persephone for one part, and with Aphrodite for the remainder. However, Adonis made over to Aphrodite his own share in addition, so two-thirds of the year with Aphrodite and only one-third with Persephone. However, afterwards, in hunting, he was gored and killed by a boar. Whatever happens, Adonis, boar, bad combination. When Cecrops died, Cranaus came to the throne. He was a son of the soil, and it was in his time that the flood and the age of Deucalion is said to have taken place. He married a Lacedaemonian wife, Pedius, the daughter of Mines, and begat Crane, Menachme, and Athis. And when Athis died a maid, Cranaus called the country Athis. Cranaus was expelled by Amphictyon, who reigned in his stead. Now, some say that Amphictyon was the son of Deucalion. Others say that he was a son of the soil. All depends on who you ask. And when he had reigned 12 years, he was expelled by Erichthonius. Now, some say that this Erichthonius was a son of Hephaestus and Athis, the daughter of Cranaus, and some say that he was a son of Hephaestus and Athena, as follows. Athena came to Hephaestus, desirous of fashioning arms, but he, being forsaken by Athena, fell in love with Athena and began to pursue her, but she fled. When he got near her with much ado, he attempted to embrace her, that's a fun translation, but she, being a chaste virgin, would not submit to him, and he dropped his seed on her leg. And in disgust, understandable, she wiped off the seed with some wool and threw it on the ground, and as she fled and the seed fell on the ground, Erichthonius was produced. Him, Athena brought up, unknown to the other gods, wishing to make him immortal. And having put him in a chest, because there's a thing about putting babies in chests in this chapter, she committed it to Pandrasus, daughter of Cecrops, forbidding her to open the chest. Now, the sisters of Pandrasus opened it out of curiosity, of course, and beheld a serpent coiled around the babe. Remember, serpent's a symbol of Athena. And as some say, they were destroyed by the serpent, but according to others, they were driven mad by reason of the anger of Athena and threw themselves down from the Acropolis. Some way or another, they died. Having been brought up by Athena herself in the precinct, Erichthonius expelled Amphictyon and became king of Athens, and he set up the wooden image of Athena in the Acropolis and instituted the festival of the Panathenaea and married Praxithea, a naiad nymph, by whom he had a son, Pandion. When Erichthonius died and was buried in the same precinct of Athena, Pandion became king, in whose time Demeter and Dionysus came to Attica, so we're seeing the expansion of religion in this world. But Demeter was welcomed by Celeus at Eleusis, and Dionysus by Icarius, who received from him a branch of a vine and learned the process of making wine. And wishing to bestow the god's boons on men, Icarius went to some shepherds who, having tasted the beverage and quaffed it copiously without water, which is a no-no in Greece, or at least in ancient Greece, so they quaffed it copiously without water for the pleasure of it, imagined that they were bewitched and killed him. They were really drunk, clearly. But by day, they understood how it was, also probably major hangover, and buried him. When his daughter Erigone was searching for her father, a domestic dog named Mera, which had attended Icarius, discovered his dead body to her, and she bewailed her father and hanged herself, like you do. Pandion married Zeuxippe, his mother's sister, and begat two daughters, Procne and Philomela, and twin sons, Erechtheus and Butes. But war having broken out with Labdacus on a question of boundaries, he called in the help of Tereus, son of Ares, from Thrace, and having with his help brought the war to a successful close, he gave Tereus his own daughter Procne in marriage, because women are prizes. Tereus had by her a son Itys, and having fallen in love with Philomela, he seduced her, saying that Procne was dead, for he had concealed her in the country. Afterwards, he married Philomela and bedded with her and, for good measure to make sure she couldn't tell anybody, cut out her tongue. But by weaving characters in a robe, she revealed herself thereby to Procne, her own, and revealed her own sorrows. So Procne now knows that, you know, Philomela is not dead and vice versa. Anyway, having sought out her sister, Procne killed her son Itys, boiled him, and served him up for supper to the unwitting Tereus, and then fled with her sister in haste. When Tereus was aware of what had happened, he snatched up an axe and pursued them. And being overtaken at Daulia, in Phocis, they prayed to the gods to be turned into birds, and Procne became a nightingale, and Philomela a swallow, and for some reason Tereus was also changed into a bird, and he became a hoopoe. This chapter seems to be a lot about sharing, or not sharing. The fight between Poseidon and Athena over what would become the city of Athens, the fight between Aphrodite and Persephone over Adonis, Dionysus sharing wine with Icarius, who then shared it with some shepherds, a move he probably regretted in the end, Tereus being a horrible person. Okay, it's probably a stretch to describe his behavior as sharing both Procne and Philomela, but I've announced my thesis and I'm going to make it work. And yes, my fellow Trimeres and I would totally have written a term paper with this thesis statement if it had occurred to us. That first fight, the one between Poseidon and Athena and their inability to share the city of Athens, is interesting in this telling. Poseidon gives a spring, and Athena gives an olive tree. And yes, there is an olive tree on the Acropolis that is supposed to be descended from the tree that Athena gave the city, but I digress. I think it's interesting that this author just says, it's the first olive tree, so Athena wins. Not that I expect this author to go into detail on anything, but the version I've heard in other sources is that the olive tree is more useful than Poseidon's spring. You get fruit and wood and oil from an olive tree, and from a spring you get water. But this version skips those details, so there we go. The last story told in this chapter may be vaguely familiar to you from those other sources, too. Remember Birds by Aristophanes? It references these characters and how they were turned into birds, although it leaves out the gore and rape that precedes Tereus being changed into a hoopoe. Not sure he really deserves it. So what stands out to you? Is there another theme you see that connects these stories? Pop over to the blog and share. It's at triumvirclio.school.blog. In the next episode, we'll keep working our way through the Bibliotheca. That will be Book 3, Chapter 15. Talk to you then.
You can join the discussion of this and everything covered in this podcast by following the link in my show notes. And if you're enjoying what you've heard so far, please consider supporting the show with a monthly donation of your choosing, just like public radio. And please also consider giving a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice so that more people can discover the fun that is Triumvir Clio's School of Classical Civilization.